Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance, and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
A penny who just couldn't stop the beat.
Yes, with roller skates on her feet.
A girl who loved a beat.
A ghost is recently deceased.
A real cool mom. Musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey.
Come with me, Emily.
I
am your host, Miss Carrie Butler. Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
Hello, welcome to Breaking Broadway. I am so excited to have my guest, Angie Schwor, here today. Angie is a triple threat who is currently in Some Like It Hot, her 12th Broadway show. You also may know her from Angie in The Prom. Interesting. You played yourself. And Ula in The Producers. We did Catch Me If You Can together.
Yes.
Welcome, Angie.
Hiya. I'm so happy to see you.
So happy to see you, too. I feel like you are a muse for so many choreographers that I know and love. Tell us about your journey to becoming a Broadway dancer, performer, actress, singer. Well, did you always dream of this?
Honestly, I don't think I knew enough. I grew up in Northern Kentucky, and I didn't really know. It wasn't like from the get-go when I started dancing at 5 years old back in the covered wagon days that I didn't go like, I need to do Broadway. I don't think I knew enough, right? And so I really was just a dancer my whole childhood, once a week, half hour tap, half hour jazz, half hour ballet, acro. And I loved it. And then until I went to college. I went to NKU, Northern Kentucky University, a little college near in my hometown, where they said you need to speak and sing. You know, then I started sort of learning that. And then I believe maybe the Broadway might have come onto my map a little bit, right?
Wow. When you were growing up, you only did like an hour of dance a week?
Yeah. And we did the competition.
Me too. How is that possible that you're so good and I'm so bad?
I did. You are not.
Well, you know I am. It's okay. It's okay.
I've seen you dance. That's how I became obsessed with you in Hairspray. Don't even try it. I think we did the competitions, obviously not as competitive as it is now. You know, it's crazy. I wasn't that. But I did do the dance competitions, the DEA and those kind of things. But yeah, I think it was once a week. And then in high school, I started teaching. Assisting at my dance studio. But in college, they were like, you need to learn to sing and speak. And I did started doing the acting classes and got sort of my first little role as Lois Lane in Kiss Me Kate in my college and stuff like that. But then I was working at Disney and I knew so many people that were working in New York, that moved to New York that in my eyes were so much more talented than I was and they weren't really working. So I just stayed at Disney because I thought I might as well stay where I have a great job. I was dance captain. I did all these convention shows. And it was a great company to work for. I loved it. So I even put a down payment on a house.
No way.
Yeah, because I was going to just live in Lake Buena Vista.
Yes.
And it was
that's my dream.
Yeah, and it's one of those that you build, right? And then DJ Salisbury, who was a PA on Will Rogers Follies, called me on a landline in the entertainment office and said, I think you should come up and audition for Will Rogers Follies. You are too young to know that show, but
I know that show.
One of the prerequisites is they wanted you to be over 5'8", and I'm almost 5'11". Well, I've probably shrunk a little now, but So I did. And so I don't know that that's the way my path was, but I don't know that. Wow. I always just thought that's where I need to be.
And then how did he find you?
32 years later, I'm here. Oh, sorry, I missed that part. He was my dance partner at the Diamond Horseshoe at Disney.
Oh my gosh.
So you never know who you're working with, right?
That's right. Be nice to everybody.
Because if I wasn't, he certainly wouldn't be calling on the landline having me come up and audition. So
and
I don't know
did...
that I ever set my sights on it, but then it sort of came into my path.
That's so cool. Well, it was meant to be.
I guess.
How did you get so close with like Jerry Mitchell and Casey Nicola?
Well, Jerry was in the ensemble of the Will Rogers Follies.
Oh.
I moved here on February 8th, 1991. I started rehearsal for Will Rogers February 9th of 1991. So that day, that first day, and my anniversary is coming up.
And
so February 9th, I always try to see Jerry and Troy Johnson and John Gannon lives in LA and our late Jason Opshaw. But they were my boys because I was a swing. So my dressing room at the Palace was up on, I guess, I remember the fifth floor maybe. And that's where the boys were.
Oh.
So I got to know them very well. And that's how I, first day of rehearsal, Jerry Mitchell started taking me under his wing. I swear to God. He was like, hey, we're going to watch. He had just choreographed Heart's Desire in Cleveland or something. He said, we're going to go watch it at my house. You want to come over? You know, boom. It was first day. Love it first day.
Wow. Wow. And so for those listening, Jerry Mitchell, if you don't know, is one of the top choreographers on Broadway. He did Hairspray that I was in and also Catch Me If You Can that both of us were in. But I mean, tons and tons of
directing,
musicals and directing. Yes. Yes. Legally Blonde. He's so, so, so talented. And what about Casey?
Casey and I were two ships that passed in the night in Crazy for You. I did the first national Crazy for You and then came and replaced on Broadway like the last couple of years. He was already gone because he was in the ensemble too. And he had already started his new path. So we were kind of two ships that passed in the night. Then I auditioned for him for Minsky's. I believe this was 2009. I had just finished doing Young Frankenstein. I replaced in that after the producer. And I auditioned for him. And I just remember the one thing I remember, it was called Minsky's. It was a show that was supposed to come in. It went to the Pantage, the Amundsen in LA. And I remember the cards you used to get at auditions, the little white card, and you would fill in your name.
Oh, yeah.
And
your sizes.
maybe what part or what what the show is. And then it said age, and I put old in big quotes. And he said it out loud. He thought it was so funny. And so I auditioned for Minsky's, and that's when I started working for Case. And then a couple years later, he asked me to do Something Rotten workshop, which became into a show. He had me do Prom, which he said, we're calling this character. We call her your name. We call her Angie Schwartz right now. We call her Angie Schwartz.
Yeah. And so they wrote it for you, right?
And then they just never changed the name. It's Angie
so cool.
Dickinson in the show, though, for those of you who know who Angie Dickinson is. And then the first day we just opened Prom, and what was that 2018, and started working on Some Like It Hot, and he asked me to come in with all the principals, and I read all the girls, and Minnie didn't really exist. It was Beanstalk. It was a man. And then Minnie was the drummer, and then Minnie sort of became who Minnie is now, which is sort of the band manager / Sweet Sue sidekick.
Oh.
So that's my Casey love story. And I always, and you know, Scotty and Mark, of course.
Of course.
For some reason, they always just keep me in their pocket. And I don't know why, but I'll take it. And I love it. And it's joyful. And Casey's joyful. And
joyful.
You respect him so much and you never want to disappoint him. But we get to laugh and have so much fun too. Right? So that's my Casey and Jerry love story.
Did you ever, because now both of us have been in the business forever.
I'm a lot older than you, don't you?
No, you're not. You're not. Did you ever go through a difficult time when you wanted to give up?
You know, Carrie, for some reason, and I don't know if this is just because I'm not trying to belittle anything that I've done or belittle my talent or anything like that. But every time a show closes, I'm not sure there's going to be another one.
Well, me too.
Yeah. So what is that? I don't know what that is, but I always go like, well, then, yeah. Starting.
I think it's just realistic because there's so, I mean, when you get cast in something, for most people, it's like you are the absolute perfect person to play because there's so much competition out there.
Yeah. And it's only, it's, you know, I feel like when I started out 32 years later or 32 years ago, the competition wasn't what it is now. I mean, these kids are amazing and they have so much more at their fingertips than I did. Right.
Yeah.
You can emulate, you watch videos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We didn't have any of that.
I
we didn't have
to
any.
Go to Colony to get sheet music.
Yes.
And buy the book. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We didn't get to go like, oh, let's watch the performance of this, you know?
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
And I think it lends itself to more competition and to them just being better and more fierce.
Yeah. I never thought of it like that, but I think you're right about that.
And workshops and master classes, there's more of those things. And I mean, even before COVID, you know,
they
became more prevalent during COVID too. Sorry, go ahead.
So when the show closes and you think you're never going to work again, you don't get depressed about that. You're just like, ah.
I don't know. I guess I do. I guess there's always that post depression from when you just come down off of a great high. Prom was very depressing for me because I wanted it to last longer. And
it was so good.
And it was so joyful to me. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know why it didn't catch on fire. You know what I mean?
But it has now.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, then they did the movie and then now regional theaters are starting to do it. So the story is being told. I just kind of wish it could have been with me.
Yes.
A little bit longer. I think I was in the middle of doing Something Rotten with Casey and they started the ball rolling for Prom. Right. Same with.
Was Prom one of the highlights of your career? Like having a part named after you?
Well, I guess. It's still the little kid from Kentucky kind of goes, I can't believe that actually happened. But I have so many people going, hey, I'm going in for Angie at Pioneer Theater. And it just kind of cracks me up. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I feel like it's a nice little notch in my belt from this little, you know, toehead kid from Kentucky who, you know, sings a little, dances a little, acts a little, you know what I mean? So I feel like that is definitely a highlight. And then my whole Ula journey was sort of my first principal role because I did understudy a few times. You know, I'm very specific to what I can and can't understudy. But Ula was that first big thing for me. So that always has a special place in my heart.
Yes. Yeah. And that was like the hottest show of the time.
Yeah. It really was a really wonderful time in my life too. Yeah, Angie and Ula obviously are biggies for me. And now Minnie, I'm very much enjoying Minnie because I get to sit at the drums a lot.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to see it. My family all saw it without me while I was doing Beetlejuice, and they loved it.
I knew you couldn't see it yet because you were still working.
Yeah, they loved it, but I'm going to come see it for sure because they absolutely loved it.
But it's again, I get to do a little bit of everything. And so
fun.
Thank you, Casey Nicola. And Scotty and Mark for taking care of it.
Yes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So this podcast is for, you know, young actors starting out so they can hear about the business. And I'm doing a series on, like, how we are athletes and how we have to take care of ourselves, which I have felt like I've had to do so much more now than when I was younger. What about you?
I honestly, religiously still take dance class.
You do?
I do. That's why I'm after I get off with you today, I am heading to Deb Roche at Step at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
It's an hour and a half class. It's a great warm-up.
Oh my gosh. So you're in a show and you're taking dance classes during the day.
If I can get there, I do 4 times a week.
Wow. Good for you.
If I can get there, you know, we're doing, sometimes there's little PR things,
right?
There's photo shoots,
put-ins,
stuff we're doing.
Yeah, stuff like that.
But I will get there about 4 times a week. Again, Casey takes care of me in the show. I do not flip and do all the things that the tinier, younger people do.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does, and this is something I think is very important, it kind of evens out what you do in the show so that you know what I'm saying? You kind of...
Yes, 100%.
You favor one whole side. I don't really have to kick much or anything in the show, but you favor one side, so it sort of evens me out. And honestly, when I was doing Ula, I did the same thing because I was much, you know, when was that? 20 years ago. I was much younger. I didn't have to warm up. I could literally plop down into the splits and be ready to go.
Really?
But I did Deb Roche religiously. Right? And sometimes it kind of fits in right before the show where like to not, like today it kind of does. So it literally is like sort of your warm up for the show. But you're right. It is very, you do have to, you spend the rest of the day as you would revving up to do whatever it is, you know, however you have to eat, however you have to warm up vocally, whatever we have to do. So yeah, I think it is very much in a way, athletic.
I just started doing Pilates and I love it because I feel like that is really balancing out my body from the same thing, doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I think Pilates is wonderful. The reformer is, I pulled a hamstring. I pulled my groin muscle very badly on the first national and I cut out the splits for a little while and the reformer is what rehabbed me. And knock on wood, wherever I have it, it never recurred.
Wow.
So that is, Pilates is awesome.
That's great. Do you have to do a cool down after the show or anything like that?
No, not physically. No. I just walk to the subway, walk the stairs, walk home. You know.
You're not in pain all the time after like dancing your whole lifetime?
Randomly, not yet. I don't know.
Not getting ready yet. Because I'm in pain all the time.
No, not yet.
I'm like, how am I in pain? I don't even dance.
I don't know. I mean, I hate to jinx myself.
Maybe it's the dance classes.
It could be the dance classes. And there was
you're
a
still
time,
working the other muscles. Yeah.
There was a time and it might have been with you. It might have been doing Catch Me if we were trying to figure out when I still lived in Jersey. I went to Lifetime Fitness and did a half hour swim every day.
Oh, I love swimming.
Swimming is one of the greatest things. And it
also for singing too.
Yeah.
Because it opens everything up.
And you can do like, you know, little trills as you're swimming.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to do that as a warm up too.
I'm not like killing it doing the freestyle and I do a nice breaststroke.
Me too.
Really lengthens your muscles and keeps them sort of sinewy. And I think it's all good. It's too much rigmarole for me to swim in the city in the winter. I'm cold all the time. So, but definitely is something I do in the summer.
What about, do you have a routine for like what you can eat before shows and things like that?
It's so weird as you get older because it's like, you just can't eat too. I just feel like you can't eat too much. You know how it is. And even if I'm not flipping, I still have to dance and be quick on my feet. I don't want to feel like, but I'm a pretty simple eater. I have the palate of a child. So I'm a turkey sandwich girl and a chicken noodle soup and maybe a slice, you know, I'll just have a little something. And I try to eat an hour or two before, you know, so it's not, but yeah, I eat pretty simply, but I just make sure you just don't eat too much. Cause you feel better dancing when you're not feeling heavy, like you just ate, you know, too much food. Sometimes too, as I get older, you know, the acid reflux from certain and stuff, you have to watch.
That affects so many performers.
When I was in the producers, I was saying to my friend, Sarah Gettelfinger, I was having some acid stuff and my late father was still alive then. And he was a doctor. So he prescribed Protonix for me. It was an antacid where, and I go, I go, I don't know why I'm having it. She goes, well, what are you eating at night? And I was like, oh, I don't know, just a little cottage cheese with some seasoning salt on it. She was like, before you go to bed. I was like, yeah, is that bad? You just got to watch all those kind of things, spices and things, you know.
Yeah, it's true. What is your best advice for people starting out?
Well, we already hit this one about being kind.
Yes.
And being good to anyone that you come into play with in a show, in auditions, work ethic. And it's about treating people from front to back, front of house to back of house, everyone in that theater, treating them with kindness and respect, because directors find out, right? They know.
Yeah.
But I would say cultivating as many relationships as you can. For instance, I don't know if you do a lot of regional theater or have, but I do when I'm not doing a show. I have a couple regional theaters that I like to work at. And it's always these great young people. Some of them are non-ec, some of them are equity, that you get to watch and work with. And I feel like doing those kind of jobs, especially as a young person, especially if you're non-equity still, is how you can sort of cultivate relationships, because there are going to be people like me in the show or like you in the show that have connections, and they see how you work. They see how you work for those 3 weeks in rehearsal. They see how you do your 8 shows a week. So you're actually in it with them, and you can recommend them for.
That's
for instance, right before prom, I did a whole list of kids I had just worked with at, I think it was in Mamma Mia I had done at Ogunquit. And I listed their names, what the things that they were good at, some of the features they did in the show and how strong. And again, it's because they were on their gig and were kind and had great work ethic that I paid it forward for them.
Oh, that's so nice.
Now, I don't know that none of them made it into the show, but they got their name out there, and you never know when one will hit, you know?
That's right.
I think it's that. And cultivating relationships and then sort of saying yes to anything that comes your way, because
yes, when you're young,
you know that. Yeah. You know that sometimes we have to say no now, but like,
yeah, yeah. But then, yeah, you do things for free. Cause again, you're building relationships. You might be every time you perform, you're learning.
Yeah. And you don't have your kids yet. You don't have, you know, your family that you need to be home for. So it's saying yes to any of those things, because they're going to lead that's the way your path is supposed to go. And it's going to lead you the right way. Right. I say this to other people. It's different for you because, you know, you're a big Broadway star, Park and Barker. If I only tried to do principal roles once I ended the producers, I would have missed out on 5 more shows.
Yeah.
Give or take. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, it's not always the same for other people, but for me, that's my path. Because
me too. I'm like, because right before Catch Me If You Can, I played the lead in Xanadu. And I'm like, I just want to be like a member of a company where one time I'm the lead, one time I'm the supporting character.
Yeah.
And because we both just love to work.
Right. Right. So
and it's not about like being a star. It's about just loving the work.
You have to make, everyone's different, but I recommend that for everyone. And I'm sure some people do know this story, but Minnie, my character, I said yes to this. It was an ensemble part. I said yes because Casey, I'd do anything for Casey and Scotty and Mark, right? And then Equity came in mid-December and made me a principal.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm nobody else in the whole show and I don't know what all the stipulations are, but what if I had said no?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, listen, I'm still doing the exact same thing I did when it was ensemble contract that it is principal, but they made me a principal. So I always think about that. Like, who am I to be like, say no, especially after 3 years of a pandemic, right?
Right.
But it just so worked out that this is where it lands.
And how do you feel doing it? Do you feel like, oh, I should be the lead, or are you okay?
No.
Oh, good.
Never.
Yeah.
No, listen, I feel like, even when I was Angie, she was a chorus girl, right? She was Angie, but I was a principal. I still feel like I'm in the chorus. I'm a chorus girl. I feel like I'm a principal. I'm the same person. I do. It's just, I'm doing the same thing. I love it so much. I love to be on the Broadway stage. I'll you could put me in the back corner and I will create a whole scene.
Yeah,
by saying nothing. I'm good. I'm really
and that's,
good.
That's a great thing for people to know about too, that like always have your backstory. No matter how big your part is, well, you could steal the show with no lines.
Exactly. But my thing, but you, then you also have to be careful, you know, there's a fine line to fully focus. But I think that's another good thing for young people. And again, these kids are coming out quadruple threats from these conservatories and schools. And they already know this. But yeah, sometimes you don't get choreography and there's two or three eight counts that you got to swirl up. You know, there's a scene. And if you don't do anything in the scene, you're not doing anything.
Yeah. So, it's up to you.
Yeah. So, and I love that Casey, he does that a lot. I love it.
Mm-hmm. He gives a lot of freedom.
Yes. And for instance, in the opening of Something Rotten, I just vaguely remember why I jumped up on a box. I'll have no idea why I did that. But, you know, it was like, Angie, this is your path. You're going to go here. Boom, 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 and you end up there. And so then you sort of fill in the blanks of how you get there in the genre of the show, you know, in the essence of the show or whatever section of that the opening number is. So I love that. I think it's more creative too. And Casey's great like that. He loves when you just come up with stuff. And sometimes he'll be like, no. But, you know, I think it's great. And people have to learn how to do that because you fill in the blanks and that helps them seeing their, you know, their idea come to fruition too with you adding things.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us, Angie.
Yay.
So tell people where they can see you aside from Some Like It Hot on Broadway. Please go see it. I heard it's amazing and I can't wait to see it.
Yes. Come see us at Some Like It Hot. And I'm on my Instagram is at Angie Schwor, AngieSchworer.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a joy seeing you and hearing all of your stories and sharing your wonderful insight with all of us. I love you.
You're so welcome. Love you. Love you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you would like me to come to your school or theater group and give a masterclass or a talk back, please reach out at carriebutlercoach.com. If you like this podcast and want more episodes, please go to bpn.fm/breakingbroadway and subscribe, like, or share.
Together you and I are breaking Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.